hold up. Ted, I want to ask you a question real quick.
Let's just keep a real straight shot with no chaser. I'm going to get a little bit rough. I'm here for those who really believe in the American process. All of us. Straight shot, no chaser. With your girl, Teslin Figaro, on the Black Effect Podcast Network.
What's happening, straight shooters? This is your girl, Teslin Figaro, checking in for another edition of Straight Shot, No Chaser. Today, as you know, I always got love for L.A. L.A. is in the building again. We got the homie Prop, who is here that will be chopping it up with me as the host of the podcast, Hood Politics. He's also spoken word artist, an activist, poet, rapper, all of those things, loving hip hop, loving the hood, and loving politics, apparently. So we are here to chop it up to see what's what and stop by to holler at me. What's happening, Prop?
What's up, West? How y'all doing?
Doing really good. I'm glad to see you came by. Let me just get this part straight off the top. When I got your, because this is, I'm straight shot, no chaser, meaning I'm authentic. I'm going to keep it all the way 100 with you. I'm not going to bullshit you at no time. And that's when I got your trailer, well, first of all, when I saw the name, I don't know if you know, but Charlamagne the God named me the Hood Whisperer. Mm-hmm. So when I got the name Hood Politics, I was kind of like, okay, that sound kind of familiar. And then when I heard the trailer and you started, you know, incorporating the streets and gang banging, which that's certainly something I do, I said, wow, okay, the G in me was kind of like, okay, hold on, he in my lane a little bit. I don't know if I'm supposed to be glad. I don't know if I'm supposed to be okay, cool. I got a comrade. I don't know what's what. I started running your license plate all through LA, like straight up. I was like, okay, so who am I sitting down with? Let's make sure we had this conversation because, you know, it's a lot of us in this space. We certainly, plenty of people, you know, incorporate, you know, the streets and politics and things of that nature. Not too many people really do the gangbanging, at least the way I do in the space that I'm in. You know, being a political commentator on a Black News Channel, yeah. Fox News, MSNBC, I am truly the only one that brings gangbanging conversation to that space. When I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm really interested, you know, in seeing what's happening, to see, you know, like, what this is all about and, you know, how you use that, you know, conversation and your experience and how you move forward. So I'm going to ask you straight up out the gate, L.A. style, where you from?
I love it. I love it. First of all, I want to acknowledge the fact that, like, the minute you was like, let me ask, niggas know him out here. Like, that is the right question. You know what I'm saying? That's what make me know I'm in the right place. Yeah. So I'm from South Central Los Angeles originally. I moved around to like the San Gabriel Valley, you know, 626, but like home, I mean, I don't know how deep we trying to go.
With, yeah, because like, let me, yeah, because I think you maybe misunderstood the question. I asked you, where are you from? Not your location, okay. Not your GPS. Where are you from,
homie? So I'm from South Central.
Now, okay.
Let's go keep it clean like that. Now,
Yeah.
Okay. Now
let's
my
not
family
keep it
from
clean.
The six.
Yeah. Let's not keep it clean because you say you
okay,
do.
Okay,
you
cool.
say you do hood politics. So I want to know where you from. We got to be clear. See, you say you do hood politics. So we're going to get into the hood, into the politics.
Let's go.
I'm getting ready to test your gangster every way across all this thing because we got
to
make sure
like
that everybody. Yeah. We got to make sure everybody authentic in this. So I'm going to say again, where are you from?
Okay. My family from the six pack.
Okay.
So we got our blue laces.
Okay.
That's where we from. We from the blue side, east side of South Central. Grew up in a six pack. My father was a Black Panther.
Okay.
So actual banging just wasn't an option in our house.
Okay. So you've never been banging then.
So I made that pretty clear on the pod that I was like, I grew up affiliated. I grew up in these neighborhoods. I'm from these areas. I live most of my life in the Latino hood, you know, so we started off in a six pack and then I grew up around La M.A., around like the Mexican mafia and stuff. So like DS8, you know, Florence 13, like, so I was in those neighborhoods. My family is from the six pack. So with that, which was the kind of the idea of the show is like, you learn how to navigate it. You know what I'm saying? Like how to understand and move in between these spaces and kind of how they work, how that hood move, who's safe, who not safe. You know what I'm saying? Who do I call if I'm trying to walk home and somebody just ran my new Jordans?
So you was living in South Central?
I was living in South Central on the East Side. So East Side, yeah, 67 San Pedro. Like most people are familiar with South Central from, we getting real LA here. So like the 110 freeway divides East Side and the West Side. So West Side stuff, that's where, that's Nipsey Hood. That's 60s. That's A-Trays and stuff like that. They on that side. I grew up on, where is there, Swan. There's, like I said, Six Pack. And there's a few Rollin' 60 sets, but mostly I'm from the Six Pack, 67th in San Pedro.
But you, okay, but you was really functioning, though, with the essays.
I was functioning with the Vatos because, again, this is what's interesting about, that's what I love about LA, man. You got, you tingling all the things. I lived, and y'all gonna know, whoever listening from out here gonna know, I grew up on 67th in San Pedro. Once you cross in between that block, the next block from San Pedro is Avalon. Once you get to Avalon, you in an area called Huntington Park. And in Huntington Park, there's no signs in English. So it's you're in the Vatos hood. So I lived in this crazy borderlands where my granny was on 73rd, I was on 67th. So the family, like I said, this area is called a Six Pack. So from the from 60th to 69th Street, they call that the Six Pack. That's where I lived. But it's a borderlands between the Black neighborhoods and the Latino neighborhoods, because once you cross Avalon again, I mean, you might as well be in Mexico. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no English spoken in there. So that's why I lived in that hood. Yeah,
yeah, and that's what kind of confused, because when I read your information, I was like, okay. Again, this is straight shot, no chaser. You know, I was like, okay, I see a Black man, but I look like he functioning with Mexicans.
You got to move. Yeah. You got to know how to move with him.
And no disrespect. And I'm saying this respectfully. You know, I see your wife looks apparently, you know, Latina. She's certainly not a Black woman. So I said, okay, when he's translating these conversations, because as you know, not a lot of essays and Black people fuck around with each other in LA. Some do, some don't. But it's not a common thing. So I was just curious when you're saying, I definitely feel you on knowing how to navigate from one hood to the other. But when you're pushing this, you know, hood politics and, you know, I'm going to use gang banging, you know, lingo and all of that. I was curious, like, are you talking about the Black gangs? Are you talking about the essay? Like, when you're having this conversation, where are you pulling from for most of your references? Because when I'm using that type of lingo, I'm talking about Black, you know, gang. And so I really want to understand, are you merging the two? Are you leaning towards one towards the other? Because that makes a difference on our, you know, our markets and who we're connecting to.
For sure. Yeah. I think that's one thing that's like why I feel like I'm like uniquely qualified for the pod that we do, you know, not for nobody else's pod, but for mine, is it kind of like depends on the situation. Like, so if whatever's happening in politics, like there's a lot of cultural overlap that you see when you sit outside of both of them and have to learn how to live in both of these arenas. Like I spent a good amount of time in Long Beach where you running with the Polynesians, you know what I'm saying? And in that space, again, there's a lot of overlap, but you could see different sort of cultural differences. So a lot of times I'm kind of pulling from all of it, you know what I'm saying? Because it depends on the particular situation. Now that said, you know, I try to be, which I love, is straight side, no say. So I try to be as authentic as possible. When there's shit that's going down that I'm like, look, I wasn't outside for that. You know what I'm saying? Then I'm going to be real about it. You know what I'm saying? Like I fell in love with, which is what I just talked about in the last show. Like I fell in love with hip hop in a way that had me like, I was writing my name on the walls. I was hopping over fences and, you know, so that's how I got in the system. I got in the system because of graffiti. You know what I'm saying? But so when you doing it like that again, the color lines are different. Now, obviously, everybody, we all from hoods. So everybody's got, you know, they neighborhoods that they rep, whatever. But we was about hip hop. You know what I'm saying? So with that, you learn to pull from and just understand kind of how each of these neighborhoods work. Like, you know, specifically, one thing that's interesting about what you asked, like specifically with in the Latino hoods, like there's a back home. Whether it's jail or whether it's like they're like native lands, that there's a lot of shot calling that come from back there. You know what I'm saying? That to me, which is different, obviously, than like, you know, like Black neighborhoods, that longer narrative of like there's a longer like cultural history with they hoods that actually like really communicated something different that like a lot of times you looking at this Vato, like it's different, homie. You know what I'm saying? So having to know how to like spot that difference was maybe it's unique to LA, but like, you know, and I know in the 90s it was like, yeah, niggas and Vatos did not mix. You know what I'm saying? But as time went on, fools was just trying to get money. You know what I'm saying? And like, and they not going nowhere. We in the same projects. So you just learn how to be like, we got to learn how to like at least. And again, Mexico 2 hours away. You know what I'm saying? And they the plug. So you better learn how to work with them Vatos. You know what I'm saying? Because they the plug.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, business-wise, yeah. Black people have always in the hood, you know, connected with that.
Yes.
Asians, everything else on business.
Yeah.
But I was just trying to see, you know, basically, was you outside? Because I was. I mean, just straight up. So when I saw, I was like, let me see. So I grew up 456 Piru hood in my neighborhood that I grew up in Oklahoma City, not from L.A.
Yeah.
But my folks that came from L.A. in 93, 94. Well, you can check out one of the podcasts with Clifford Spud Johnson. I've been around this all my life for real. So cousins, Crips, all my niggas, bloods, like that's what it is. So when I saw it, I was like, okay, we want to make sure. And not, you know, not trying to challenge or nothing. I just try to understand because I can learn a lot from you about the Mexican side because I don't know shit about it. So when we really, I know I was asked you like, do you function with 18th Street or?
Yeah. I mean, for us, for the Vatos, it was more like we was messing with like the SGV hoods, which was connected more with La M. So a lot of those came out of like the Florence 13s dudes. So like but 18th Street, like that's. I mean, that's so generational. Like you lead them fools alone. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah. So I was messing with like Puente, with like Belinda Flats, with like, and they were all like basically La M.A. like, kind of sets. Yeah.
Well, I definitely appreciate you saying being authentic. Like you saying you have an understanding, but you're not trying to say you was claiming a hood.
Nah,
you know,
man,
anything
it's
like that.
Yeah.
That's what and the reason why I thank you so much for allowing me to ask those questions, because I'll tell you why I'm saying that. In the political space, people have looked at our culture as a gimmick, whether it's hip hop. Yeah. Now it's all of a sudden everybody from the street. And I'm real protective of that, you know, whether it's a politician pretending, you know, if it's Kamala Harris, oh yeah, I was listening to Tupac, whatever. Like, I'm real protective about that shit. Matter of fact, I did a thing years ago where I said the days of using hip hop as a political fundraising gimmick without accountability to heal the story that hip hop tells is over. So I'm very clear. I try to be very clear about, you know, where we're coming from, because what can't happen is we start using this life. You know, there's so many, we lost so many homies behind this, behind some damn political gimmick. And so I was really, I'm gonna be honest, I was hesitant. And Marcy, my producer, like, no, you should interview. I think y'all have a good conversation. And I'm glad she did, because I don't want to make assumptions about people. You know, I want to ask, it's, you know, I want to make sure it's clear, because I am representing a certain demographic that's really, really important to me.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that realness. I appreciate you. Like I said, like, man, run my tags. You feel me? In the sense that it was a really, like, when I thought about like going, you know, more corporate with the show, one of my concerns was that, like, what I don't want to do is, like you said, make a spectacle about, you know, I mean, I like, I'm picturing right now my uncle getting shot by some niggas from Ghost Town. Like, you know, like, we really died over this shit. You know what I'm saying? But what my hope with the show is not so much, obviously, I'm not trying to profiteering off the stuff that, like,
we lost
our family over, you know what I'm saying? But the hope is to more, like, it's to legitimize our information base, our knowledge base, you know what I'm saying? Like, I talk about it in one of the earlier episodes when I taught high school, you know, in a city called Pomona. That's where Sugar Free from, so just get your references together. So I taught high school over there. And when I was getting ready to finish my credentialing program, the third part of that test was the economics section. Now, I'm master's in education. Like, I know what I'm talking. Like I said, my father's a Black Panther, you know, Afro studies and sociology degree. And my father's a brilliant man, but he, you know, he's from the hood. You know what I'm saying? So when I took that test, I failed it like 3 times. And I failed it not because I didn't know what I was talking about. I just didn't know how they wanted me to answer the question. Because as you know, I mean, economics is easy. Scared money don't make money. You know what I'm saying? Don't spend money you don't have. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know how that works. If ice cream truck pull up, you know what I'm saying? It's 10 of us out here. Carlos got $20. Like, we all eating. But the question's not that simple. Because I know Carlos's older brother, you know what I'm saying? Junior, like, Junior a killer. So do I really want to take this $10 from Carlos? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I understand that situation just from growing up where we grew up. But so I'm saying it's kids all over the world grew up like we grew up that knows this answer, but we don't know that's called trade-offs, opportunity costs. Like, we don't know that's what that's called. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that was my experience. And then when I started teaching these good kids, it was like, I know what the state was telling me these kids needed to learn. But I was like, they already know this. I know they know this because they had to navigate the same streets I had to navigate. You just don't know the words for it.
Correct.
So for me, what I wanted to do with the show was to tell, was to inform or remind kids that look just like us that, like, listen, the knowledge you have is, it's legitimate knowledge. It's legitimate. What you know, you understand foreign policy. You understand, you know what I'm saying? You understand it already. You just, no one's ever affirmed that your knowledge base is legitimate. So that's really my hope with the show is, like, I just want to affirm you that, like, you know what you talk. Trust me, these people ain't smarter than you. You know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's I love that. And we have that in common. You say you have a master's in education. I do too, in adult education. And I try to the same thing. Like, I have whole classes where I teach the political system using the OGs, the BGs, the YGs, the trap, the sack, the money, like the whole nine. That's what I say. So I'm like, okay, he doing literally what I'm doing, you know, and maybe from different perspectives and, you know, different things we bring to the table. But I try to, you know, that's the same thing I do. And I try to come from a place of authentic understanding, you know, from living it as well. And so I appreciate that. And it's needed. And instead of, you know, like I said, we can't have enough of us that can translate like that because it's not a lot in this space.
Yeah.
And that's why when I saw it, I was like, okay, you know, this is in my lane, and I want to really, you know, sit down and see what's happening. When I'm translating the streets and politics, I'm doing it from, you know, working over 20 years. I have a political consulting firm. You know, I've worked on state, local, federal races. I was Bernie Sanders' racial justice director. I'm Attorney Crump's senior public policy. I'm the senior advisor for George Floyd. I've sat on government boards. I'm a political commentator. I'm in politics for real, for real. And one thing that the homies appreciate is when they see me out doing what I'm doing in politics and they can come back. Like yesterday, for example, on BNC, I quote an MCA. We just got off the phone, you know, and I mixed his lingo in what I do politically. So I try to show, you know, real examples basically similar to what you're saying, with affirming what you already know and seeing how you can have, you know, a space, you know, place in this space. So is your political background? I guess when you're saying hood politics, are you talking about like politics or politicking and just everyday, you know, getting along with other communities, how you move? Are you talking about specifically, are you actually dealing with, you know,
like actual policy?
Yeah, actual policy and all of that. Because politics is when you say politics, that could be, it's really broad.
It's a trillion
things. It could be a million different things. People politic in the pen. It don't mean they're talking about Joe Biden. So when you say politics, what are you talking about?
What I'm talking about is a zeitgeist, if you will. What I'm talking about is being able to read and interpret what's coming across your news channels, you know? So what I do off mic is a lot more sort of like advocacy and justice work and you know, to kind of go to my references. Like, I worked off mic. I worked deeply in education. So like the school I taught at, like I wrote the 11th grade, you know what I'm saying? I helped build that charter, you know, and worked on a couple of different charters for high schools and couple like you know, Capitol Hill lobbying situations, but that's off mic stuff. But for this, my hope is basically to just understand headlines and give somebody a reason to, or a way to be able to feel empowered to formulate their opinion about what's going on.
So can I bang on you a little bit?
Let's go.
Okay. So you said, I love this. Thank you for being so, being able to willing have this conversation. So I want to back up just a little bit. When you said that's off mic stuff. So I'm trying to run your license plate on off mic. Because it's important. And again, I run a communications firm. I understand what you're saying, like under translating the headlines. But I want to be clear and say that a lot, unless you worked in politics, it's, I can tell you this means this and translate it. Hey, homie, what they really saying is, like for infrastructure. Yeah. Hey, homie, what they really saying is, you know, such and such got the sack. They going to Republicans and Democrats are arguing, you know, right now it's all about the sack. They're trying to figure out who got it, how it's going to be broke down, how it's going to be distributed, whose hood going to get what. And they can't seem to figure out, you know, what is it, what kind of weight we going to move and so forth. So I can translate that easily because I work in the system. So in headlines are always percent of time, because I work in media, misleading. So my question to you is, if you don't work in politics, how can you translate a misleading headline if you don't know that it's misleading? Does that make sense?
Well, you just got to read.
It's deeper than reading on me. Like, you got to be out. You got to kind of know. It's not reading. Because remember what Malcolm X said, the media can have you thinking that the oppressor is not the oppressor. I'm paraphrasing. What I'm saying is, it's not just reading. It's not just, and that's where the education folks come from, you know, where they say, you know, you have your PhDs, your folks that never was outside in politics. And they say, no, it says this and this and this. And they can translate it well, and you can translate it to the street. But I'm trying to figure out, it's not just reading it. Some of that experience matters, just like with gangbanging. Some of that experience matters, because if you could be translating something that's inappropriate, you know, that's not right. The game that's in it is what I'm saying. So the game that's in politics kind of got to be understood by working in politics. So that's why I was asking, I'm just asking a direct question. Have you worked on any campaigns, anything on the political end?
Yeah, so I worked with, like I said, like one campaign, couple lobbying, you know, organizations as far as for like climate change and infrastructure in California. I was never hired by any particular campaign. Volunteered for local canvassing around here. But yeah, when I say reading, I don't necessarily just mean like things in the abstract, if you will. It's reading is also calling somebody like you and being like, all right, who do I know in these offices? Who can I ask? Are there other articles? Are there other scholarly journals? What is the BBC saying about this same story? What is, you know, Al Jazeera saying about this same story? You know what I'm saying? And just kind of putting it all together. But yeah, you're right. You know what I'm saying? Like, there is a limit to my knowledge base.
And maybe,
you know,
we can connect. Like, and I'm saying that to say maybe we can connect, because if you're saying, okay, BBC is saying this and Fox is saying this and MSNBC, like, that's needed. Like, I'm not dissing the...
For sure.
I'm definitely not dissing the theology of it all, you know, the theory of it all. That's why I have a master's in education, too. I understand the theory. But there's something to be said with actually being in the room with these clowns. You know what I mean? I'm literally in the room, and I know what they put out is one thing. For example, when we talk about research papers, one of the things that's lacking in social justice is not being able to have, you know, our law students be able to write, you know, research papers. So when people are, in matter of fact, Attorney Crump and I talk about that all the time, they don't have the funding to have the fellows to write that. So when people are researching certain information, it's coming from white supremacy or coming from certain people in power. And so somebody's taking it like yourself and reading and say, okay, it says this, but how it's interpreted or what they put out, the agenda behind it, you learn the agenda behind it by being, well, like we said, outside, working with these folks outside, on a different level, so you know the games that they play. And that is what's so critical, you know, when we get into these hood space. And I'm not saying, you know, I'm not meaning to quantify or qualify your experience at all, but I'm just expressing how you and I and other folks like us have to get together and really combine our knowledge to see you know, how we can contribute to each other when we're talking about these streets, because this is the most important demographic to me. And it's important that they know. It's just like saying, you know, I can say all the time, yeah, okay, I was a sympathizer, I was this, I was that. But if a nigga ain't never put in no work, if they ain't never done, you can't speak to that. You know, so yeah. All of those elements have to be, you know, dealt with, you know, so that we understand. Yeah. Even, and I'm not, you know, certainly not saying this to be rude. I know you straight shot, no chaser. You don't want to come on the show. So I give it to you straight up raw. And I had these mm-hmm. conversations all the time to compare so that we all can add value and make it a seamless education, because nobody wants to educate the hood. Like, it's literally, yeah. When I saw you, I was like, wow, that's not, because you don't get that. And so yeah. There is, I think, deeper conversations that you and I can have that I can give you some game on what they're saying in that meeting, you know, literally yeah. in that meeting, because it does make a difference. It will make a difference with how you translate information, because it definitely goes beyond, you know, the theory, you know, of it all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's some ways, you know.
I don't. And I hope I'm not coming off like this. Like, no, I don't take no. Yeah, I don't take no offense. I've been checked plenty of times. You know what I'm saying? I don't take no. I mean, and I don't take. And I also, like, you know, I have no desire to be in nobody else's lane. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not something I need to do. I have been humbled enough to know that, like, I can't be the fountainhead. You can't do this by yourself. You know what I'm saying?
And it's really not my lane, because yeah. I hope I'm not coming off that way just because I said it. It's not that I'm territorial about my lane. I was being funny because of the gangbang. What I'm saying is I am territorial. Yeah, I am territorial about, well, not territorial. I'm very passionate about the demographic you're talking to. And
protective.
I'm very protective. Yeah, and I want to make sure that, you know, that we're giving them as much as possible, because nobody's doing it. Nobody validates
for sure.
them. Literally, you're the only one that I ever met that really, other than Killer Mike, you know, but that's not what he's doing on a daily basis. So the homies, like, it's important whether you're talking about the Mexican side, I'm talking about the Black side, whatever. Mm-hmm. It is so important, you know, that they're getting accurate information. Yeah.
And it's important to me, you know, one, that there is, and I can hear it in your voice, that there's more of us, you know what I'm saying, who at least know what they're talking about, you know, got their credentials. And it's clear to me, like, and you know, and I try to make it clear, because I really do know niggas out there, that it's clear that y'all understand that, like, listen, here's where I'm coming from. This is where I lived. Y'all did the shit. You know what I'm saying? I had to make sure, you know what I'm saying, I could survive around y'all, so that y'all know, like you said, like, look, I'm not lying about this life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's because then the whole thing over.
Yeah.
You feel me? So so that authenticity I found, you know what I'm saying, in the reality of, like, you know, actually growing up, of being like, listen, you know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm about this hip hop. Like, that's my nigga. That's my cousin. That's my uncle. That's my fam. This is my sister, no less. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be around. When y'all need me, it is what it is. I know the codes. I know the rules. But look, this is what I signed up for. That's what y'all signed up for. And it's clear. You feel me? I think, to me, specifically on the hood shit, it's like the part that bothers me the most, and I think we got there in the beginning, is like when, you know, what they call performative hoodness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not performing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm telling y'all the truth. You feel me? This is where I was. And I'm not going to up my hood stories, to make it seem, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not finna do that. No, this is real. Like,
and I hope you feel the same way about politics too. Like, not try to,
for sure.
You
like,
was like, hey, I did
thing.
This
yeah,
and did
like,
that.
I'm not going to lie to y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's important.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. Cause I'm telling you out the gate, I was like, I'm going to see.
Yeah,
I'm
check,
see, like
nah,
you.
Check.
Yeah, I'm like, okay,
and see what
you
it
politics.
Is. Yeah,
let's
you
see if you
saying?
Really politics, because that's I'll be finding
I'm really
it
about
real
it,
irritating. And I don't have no problem with somebody say, hey, no, hey, this is what I've done. I did this, I did that, I didn't do this and didn't do that, and I'm contributing what I had to the game. And for that
that's
alone, I got respect for you, because I'm just being honest.
And that's
I'm very,
what it is.
Yeah, I'm very honest. I was like, listen, I don't like
you
it when
be.
People say they hood and they not. I don't like when people say they do
and
politics
they
and they not. Because, nigga, you don't do politics. When I hear people say, I do politics, no, you don't. You know what I'm saying?
You don't.
Politics mean, nigga, run. Nah, where's some campaigns? Where is nonprofit world is nonprofit. Education is education. Politics is politics.
It's politics.
You know what I mean? And it's important.
For real.
So I have respect for you, and I appreciate you explaining that, because that's really important. And I tell people all the time on my show, I'm not looking for allies. I'm looking for frontline soldiers. That's why, I say straight shot, no chaser. And frontline soldiers, have different experience they can bring to the table. And it's so critical. And you are where my folks are. So I see benefit, working with you. But I needed to know those things, because if not, it comes off gimmicky to me.
And I don't, that's my worst nightmare is for it to come off gimmicky. That's not at all what I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? I oftentimes, like I said, in my head, I'm picturing, this little nigga who's actually doing the shit now. This little nigga, City James, his name was Trey when he was in my class. You know what I'm saying? But like, I'm picturing him who's like, suspended every other week. You know what I'm saying? But I'm looking at him in my little classroom and I'm just like, God, this little nigga smart as hell. You know what I'm saying? I started taking him to the poetry spots out in LA, because I'm like, you're a great writer. Like, just come with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so when I'm thinking about this, I'm thinking about him. I'm thinking about little Ishmael. You know what I'm saying? Ishmael Rodriguez. That I'm like, when I first started teaching, I taught at East Lake, which is our juvenile halls down here. So that was like, I spent my first 2 years of teaching in prison. You know what I'm saying? So like, for me, I'm looking at them niggas. You know what I'm saying? That I'm trying to tell you, like, you're not wasting your time. What you're saying makes sense. You feel me? And like, nobody, you're not doing something any different than they doing. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, that's my heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there's an importance that I appreciate. Actually, even doing this is even helping me flesh out, like, really where my lane is. You know what I'm saying? And like, really understanding actually what I'm trying to do. You feel me? And this actually helps.
So I'm gonna be honest with you, like I said, I want to hook up with you and talk, especially with you gathering, information and really studying that. When I heard your trailer, it's different than when I heard the trailer, it gave me the impression, okay, he outside for real. And he must be doing something in politics. That was the impression. It's a damn good trailer. Yeah. But just reading just listening to it, I thought something, did not taking away, you weren't overselling yourself. I'm just telling you the feeling, the feeling that I got when I see the name and I hear the, I'm like, okay, he can kind of probably, have the same conversation I can, which I can tell that you can. I know you know the verbiage. I know you can flip it. I just want to work with you on making sure that we go beyond that,
Cross the T's, dot the I's.
And I do the same thing. Like, I talk to niggas that's active to make sure that I understand. Because the code in 1994, 95, 96, 97 ain't different. The same code now,
It's different, man. Yeah. That's crazy. I was just talking to little young niggas out in Florida. And I'm like, y'all murder somebody and then put they face on your mixtape? Like, y'all not quiet about it? Like, I was like, this is new. Y'all Instagram and this shit. I'm like, okay, school me. Cause I'm like, what part of the game is this? Y'all just out about it? Okay. So that's some stuff I tried to admit that even in one of the first few episodes, that I'm like, I might be stuck in a decade. Maybe I am. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm stuck in a region. I got a really good friend out there, actually in OKC, but he was a C. So I don't want just in case. Yeah. I'm gonna like keep his name off right now. You know what I'm saying? But like, it's even there, like different, different rules.
Well, just so about Oklahoma City, I mean, it was heavily influenced in West Coast in the 90s because that's where they came to get their money. That's where they came to set up shop. So when people say, when they hear my lingo and they say, are you from LA? No, it's just, that's who ran our hoods.
Yeah, not
the original
only that,
ones from the Big Turf. And that's not the same. I've lived in Texas, Chicago, Orlando, Dallas, Houston. It's not the same here. Even though you got people that bang here, it's not the same. And I'm talking about 90s lingo, 90s lingo, different stuff, So, yeah, you're right. But Oklahoma City is very close to West Coast.
It's really real. It's funny, man. I was telling him, dude, the homie that's out there, like, there's this disconnect that happens when we hit about 6th, 7th, 8th grade over the summer. just like niggas just disappear. And you like, hey, where'd James go? It's like, oh, he had to go live with his auntie in Oklahoma. And you just, for us, it's like they just cease to exist. You forget that, like, oh, when they moved to Oklahoma, they got active. Like, all I knew was they families was trying to keep them out their life. So they had to go to Atlanta, had to go to Arkansas, had to go to this. And they just disappeared with the Vatos. It was like, oh, he got to go to Mexico. You know what I'm saying? So like, homie in Mexico for 2 years, you know what I'm saying? And you forget that once they get to Mexico, they don't stop doing the shit. You know what I'm saying? But you don't know. You know what I'm saying? And then when I started touring, doing music, yeah, you land in a city right here. And like, niggas sound like back home. And if for, you know, pre-internet, you know what I'm saying? You just like, how did this?
Yeah, the culture spread. How did this happen? Without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you get it, dude. You know, you get it. Like I said, like, you know, I got homies out there. And it was like, that was so eye-opening to me. Even what you explained in it, where it was like, each city, you know what I'm saying, each region take on its own, you know, personality and way of making it their own, that like, it's really important that like, you still got to be what you just said right now. You just got to stay plugged in. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, if you don't know any like young shooters, I just think you dead in the water.
You lost. Yeah, that's it.
You lost. You got to know some of these young shooters, you know what I'm saying? And I do, like, I've earned enough, like, I've been around enough, you know, I've survived enough to where, like, these young shooters, like, now they start treating me like, you know, dad energy. Like,
is that what you, is that what your target market is? Like, a lot of young adults, maybe? Are they who, is that who you're trying to get to listen to your podcast more so?
Nah, it's more to, like, I'm looking at the 20-somethings.
Okay.
You know, 20-somethings, early 30s. Like, you know, I just thought about myself, like, that's when the disillusionment happened for me, was, like, when I like you mentioned before, like I took the bait of believing that if I got a formalized education, you know what I'm saying, then you'll take me serious. I took that bait, you feel me? But I'm sitting in this room where it was like the walls of my childhood was, I had the Timbuktu road on my wall, you know what I'm saying? Like as a kid, I had the lineage of like the Zulu tribes because of my father, you know what I'm saying? So you sitting in this room and I feel like I know more about not just Black history, but just history period than the teacher I'm sitting across from. But this not the question you asking me. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I sat in there and was just like, oh, this is just white shit. Like, I just, what am I even doing? So I felt like early on, I was tempted to delegitimize the 18 to 20 years it took me to get to that seat, only to come out the other end and be like, actually, that was real knowledge. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it's like, in my heart, it's like, I want to catch that kid, that 20-something, before they check out. And just to say, no, don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. You know what you're talking about. You know, the
double consciousness that WWE. You help them then beyond politics. You try to show them things in business. It sounds like you show them life, period. Life skills is what it sounds like.
It's not holistic, necessarily. Yeah.
Yeah, not necessarily just.
It's not just. Yeah.
Politics. Okay, because when I saw, and like I said, it's such a broad word. When I saw politics, that's why I was saying it could mean a number of different things. So when I'm talking to the homie, just so you know what I do, I'm specifically talking about politics. I still just, you know, have conversations, life skill type conversations. But when I'm saying I'm the hood whisperer, I'm saying I'm literally teaching them like politics. So for example, I may use Inglewood Family to teach the Electoral mm-hmm. College. You know, I may use different voting precinct, you know, like literally in the space of politics. And I try to drill in that. I would have named my show something similar to yours, but I do other interviews outside of that. So I don't want to be, you know, just kind of boxed in, if you will. But I'm specifically in that area by itself. Now, when I taught school and subbed with kids, you know, I use hip hop to teach vocabulary. I did all of that because I do spoken word, too. I'll send you some of my stuff. All of that, I use that, you know, with the kids. But I'm specifically talking about, hey, do y'all want to know how the Electoral College works? Let me show you how it works in your hood. You know, like, let me use hoods and show, you know what I'm saying?
So that's
specifically what I do. And it sounds like you do even more than that, you know, with just teaching in general.
That's why I say I try to start with headlines, because it's like, this is just, for me, Yeah, this is the entry point. Like, we did this whole, I got this whole shit on tariffs. You need to understand the Armenian genocide. I need to talk to you about the Israel and Palestine shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how the shit run deep. And as a matter of fact, the name of that episode is You Wasn't Outside.
Yeah.
So, and like,
I love that.
You know, before you start talking about what Israel and Palestine should do, it's like, hey, nigga, you wasn't there.
Right.
You don't know what the fuck you talk about. This beef go back to 70 AD, my nigga. Like, shut the fuck up. You don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? So, like, but I do because I'm interested in the shit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, so what I'm gonna do is like, there's a lot of, it's like, there's parts where it's just history. But
and that's important. Yeah, so for me, absolutely.
Yeah. So for me, the political part of it is like, that's the entry point. Like, okay, come in here. You see this all over news. Why are we talking about arms trades? You know what I'm saying? Why are we talking about, why are we still selling $20 million to the Arab, billion dollars worth of weapons to the Emirates? It's like you need it. Nigga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And so this is like using that example where you can talk about this, you know, the history and the breakdown and the going back from then and there. Because I don't do a lot of that. I talk about the reason why they're saying X, Y, Z is because this lobbying firm paid, you know, $5.6 million. And this is what it is. And really, this motherfucker trying to get such and such out of office. So that's where that's where we can connect. I talk about when I say the politics of it, not necessarily the history, because that's important. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about all that sound good, but this motherfucker right here, they really trying to run this play. Right. Yeah. So that's
yeah, it's like, nah, this is boss shit. They ain't got nothing to do with y'all.
Right.
Yeah.
So that works. That'd be nice to know I can call on you on certain things. Like if you really taking headlines and really like breaking all that down. Cause you got different commentators that do that on TV. You know, you'll have your national security advisor or your foreign policy expert. That's not what I do. Foreign policy. I'm not an expert in that. And your foreign policy expert will do exactly what you're saying, like break down the historical standpoint. But then you got a commentator that's giving opinion that come do what I do and say, oh, this sound good, but really it's about this, that. You see what I'm saying?
That's
where I think there's a benefit that it what really I'm is. Doing in the space and what you're doing in the space and how that can help our community. So that makes me very happy.
That's dope. Me too. To hear that's like you like that policy wonk. Like you in the weeds. You feel me? And like, and you're right. Like there's some parts of that shit that like my eyes glaze over. You know what I'm saying? And I do have to call actual like experts to get me in the weeds and then kind of be like, oh, I see what y'all doing. You know what I'm saying?
Because that's all I do is figure out who running the play. That's what's
beautiful is like, it's your antennas. It's like, even you reading, it's like your antennas start perking and you're like, oh, you ain't even got to finish. I know exactly what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
That's all I do. Yeah. All I'm doing is identifying who running the play, who's the pimps, who's the real gangsters, who's doing what. So that's my lane. I don't try to into the history and all. That's good. You know, I know it. I have to be informed.
You have to know
it. But not to the depth that you are. I can tell you really, you know, like, really put all this shit together and really understand.
It's sociology, ultimately.
Absolutely. And that's needed. That's needed in the lingo that we speak because nobody does that. Nobody. Yeah. And so when you hear, you know, you hear folks, Dr. So-and-so on MSNBC doing what you're doing, he can't relate it to the streets like you're doing. And when you hear somebody like myself, another commentator, you know, I won't throw out names because I want, you know, throw shade, but you got, it's about 30 of us on between MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. So you have opinion commentators that also do what I do, but they can't translate it to the street like I do. So this was a beautiful connection because both of those are needed and it's definitely needed what you do without a doubt. Because especially if you're going across the board with understanding all of that that's involved. So that's important.
Mm-hmm. That's dope. I appreciate that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, the
episode just dropped today. Episode we just dropped today. I know you know what I'm about to say or like follow this whole thing was like, again, like I'm trying to give entry points. I'm trying to give anchors. So I have my thing is like Joe Biden from Long Beach. Now, if you know anybody, you know there's only Crips in Long Beach, right? And what you notice about them niggas is they are the nicest, like, funnest dudes to be around. Like, they just nice guys. Like, it's the weirdest thing. I feel like I can spot somebody from Long Beach anywhere, right? They just cool dudes. I don't know if it's the ocean. I don't know whatever it is, but they nice, but they will beat your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Crippin' is not a game out there. You know what I'm saying? But they just nice. So if you don't know what you're looking at, just because, you know, OT Genesis and Vince Staples, them niggas is cartoons. Like, they are funny dudes, but do not get it twisted. Like,
and see, that's where
die. You know what I'm saying? So to me, it's like, that's why I was like, so when you looking at Joe Biden and you like, oh, you know, he's saying nice things. It's like, no. Wait. No, he moving just like everybody else moving. He just nice.
And see, my analogy would be when you say not moving like everybody else moving like what?
What I'm saying is, like, for example, he didn't stop the arms trade with the Arab Emirates. Like, that didn't stop. You know what I'm saying? You still funding wars on the other side of the world.
Okay.
Like, they ain't no different. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
That's
right?
Okay. That's
you know
what I wanted to hear. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
So that's two different. So I like that. So that's where we both. So you're saying he ain't no different. Like I always say, I'm an independent, just so you know. You know, the two birds are the same wing as far as I'm concerned. So I'm glad that's why I wanted to know, like, what do you mean he's still moving?
Yeah, he ain't no different. Yeah.
However, when I use Crip analogies, Crips, Bloods, you know, Crips, mm-hmm. Democrats, Bloods, Red, I would say that he don't move like Crips in Long Beach. And I know you saying they nice. Sure. Yeah, they nice. But I know real gangster Crips. And nothing about him when it comes to the black vote is gangster at all. In fact, Trump is the only gangster. No. So I have more of those conversations. Don't get them. I hear what you're saying. Like, don't get this shit twisted.
You know what I'm trying to say? Don't get it twisted.
Exactly.
Like, they're approachable.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
but
very intelligent.
But I don't compare him
gangsters.
To a Crip. In fact, that's the post I was putting up right before we got on this thing. He's more of a pimp. His pimp hand is strong. He's Bishop Don Juan. He is not one of the homies because he don't ride for us.
Yeah,
he don't ride for his
set. Like, this is,
and that's why I wouldn't say he's a Crip. But I appreciate what you brought to it. But I wouldn't know.
That's what I'm trying. I'm not calling him a Crip. I'm just saying.
No, I understand.
Like,
I call some of them like a gangster. He's not a gangster as far as
he's
riding for his set.
Yeah, it's just like
he's a gangster. He's a gangster when it comes to, like you said, still creating wars. You still about that. Like I hear what you're saying. I'm saying when I compare him, when I'm using street lingo. He's more like a pimp than he is a gangster. And the reason why is because he doesn't ride for his set. And his set is 90% of black people. So when I'm using those analogies, that's where I'm, you see how we bring, you know, different conversations.
Yeah,
it's
different.
Yours
things.
Is accurate.
That's dope.
Yeah, yours is accurate. Yeah. But mine, no, nigga, actually, he's not a gangster. You don't ride for your set. You got these people slapping your ass around. I thought you was a big homie. You letting them counter, offer it. Who did it? Please. A gangster would never. Yeah. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's how I use my
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. Because he don't come in with, like, on principle. He come in like, we willing and dealing. Like, okay, so if I give you this.
Right.
Are you finna give me? So to me, it's like the way you describe him is how I would describe, like, a Mitch McConnell, to where I'm like, oh, you just a hustler. Like, you don't care about none of this shit.
Actually, Mitch McConnell is a gangster. He is. If you were going to refer to him as who's a gangster, I'm telling you this based on what I heard, based on what I know, not what I heard. They ride for they set. They say flat out. He said flat out, I am going to block everything Biden does. Democrats never say that shit.
To me, it's like, yeah, say word. But to me, it's like, to the extent that this set works for me. You know what I'm saying? To the extent that this shit works for me. To me, it's like, I look at him and I'm like, this shit is transactional with you. Like, I really don't know.
But that's how the set worked, though. When I say the set, I'm talking about their voters.
Okay, you're talking about voters.
Yeah.
Okay, I was talking party. That makes more sense.
Party too. Whatever it is, they gangster with it. Even when it don't work for them, they're gangster with it. Even if when you said, okay, it's only when it work for them. Yeah, right, but they're gangster with it. Trump said, I don't give a fuck if y'all like what I like. You like it, don't like
or
it.
Not.
I'm building the wall, period. That's gangster.
Yeah.
That's gangster. Yeah. It ain't no, they stand
okay, word,
up.
Okay, I got you.
You know, they're the Bloods in 1994 surrounded in Inglewood, surrounded but nothing
in
but Crips.
Nothing
that's
but
like, nigga, we pushing the line over, period.
So that's what
I mean when I say having these conversations about gangster shit when it comes to politics, because miss messages, that's what I'm saying, interpretation is different based on who's putting the information out and who's hearing it. So when I'm talking to the homies, that's how I'm giving them the game. I hear what you're saying, though. Like, it's still gangster. Like, mob style gangster. You know, like, I'll still blow this motherfucker up. I'm nice, don't get
you
it twisted.
You think I give a shit about this hood? Right. Yeah, but that's what I was thinking, where it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get you. But what I'm saying is, for the gangbangers I know outside, it ain't no, when you gave the analogy saying they was nice, but don't get it twisted in Long Beach. No. The gangbangers I know, it ain't no playing nice, motherfuckers. Straight up, just like, straight up out the gate, where you from? Straight up, even on this interview, where you from? Yeah. Let me bang on a minute. Yeah. So I hear what you're saying, but when I'm talking to the homies, no. I'm trying to get homies run for office for this reason. I'm trying to get them to see it. That you should be pushing Biden. Look at, he should be repping us just like the homies rep to the day they die, till the end. They willing to die for it. They willing to be outside. Yeah. So Joe Biden is not a gangster. He is maybe a gangster in white folks' terms. That's why it all depends on what terms you talk about.
Yeah, because gangster, I like this.
Yeah, gangster in white terms, mob mentality, sit back real nice. And then make a move. That's that New York mob shit. That don't get it twisted. I'm not gonna come in here and be loud. I'm not gonna do all this extra old shit.
But
I'll blow your house up. Now that can be Joe Biden. But Joe Biden damn sure ain't no blood or no crip because he don't ride for a set, which is the black voters. He getting his ass slapped around. He not acting like a G. Too. You know, he don't
get slapped around by his own party too.
He ain't getting bossed around by his own party because his own party telling him what to do and he's not doing it. He ain't getting bossed by his own party, darling. Let's talk politics. How's he getting bossed around by his own party?
I feel like he's bending over on areas that maybe I'm looking at the progressive wing. I think the progressive wing is just asking more of him than he's willing to give. Because you still ain't raised the minimum wage, number one. You know what I'm saying?
And but how's he getting bossed around? So if he hasn't done any of the things that they're asking, how is he getting bossed around?
Touche. Maybe that's not what I meant. I just meant, okay. That's a better way to put it.
Yeah, because he's not. He's not doing
what the fuck he wants.
Exactly.
Is what you're saying. Yeah,
right. But he's not.
That's what I meant.
Which is more like mafia. But he's not representing his set. See, gang shit ain't about, politics ain't about getting bossed around. You're supposed to represent your set. If you say you Center Park, you Center Park, and if you say you Inglewood family, you Inglewood family. Your job is to represent the set. And if all Inglewood family say we want $15 an hour, nigga, make it happen. That's what Trump did. Yeah. Cause he was a real OG gangster. He was mafia and gangster, but he put it on the line and said, this is what it is. So no, this Joe Biden is not getting bossed around set because he's not doing what we want him to do. Number one, he's not a gangster.
So you would say, because I guess maybe in my head I got these like two different distinctions. I got like, so you got the hood and you got like the neighborhood where it's like the civilians that just live here versus the niggas that signed up for the shit. You know what I'm saying? So like in my head, it's like, I feel like when we talk about politicians, it's like, those are the two different things we talking about here. Like, are you talking about the niggas that just live here, or are you talking about niggas that signed up for the shit? You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, who are you? I think that's why I went with the Mitch McConnell thing, because I'm like, who are you here for?
Right, but
and
see,
when I look at Mitch, I'm like, oh, Mitch here for himself.
No, that's not how it works. I'll answer that. So when you say to people that actually, let's use Mitch for an example. Let's take him being for a setter. You saying the niggas that signed up for this shit, meaning the homies on the set, like everybody that's riding on the set versus the people that live in the community. So how it works in politics is politicking. I'm not talking about the theory side of it.
Politicking is
your local, your representatives, Congress, all of them. They the homies. They're the muscle on the block. They're the ones outside. Sure. They're representing the people that saying, oh, I just live here. Those are still people within those districts. They're still representing Inglewood. Center Park, their family, even if you just live there, because in the voter world, they still voted to put these people in office. My job, if I am an elected official, I am the OG for District 9. I didn't expect the people to live there to sign up for what I do because I'm the muscle outside, but I'm still representing what you want. So I'm going to take care of my hood, just like plenty gangbangers took care of their hood that a lot of people don't know about. They gave away turkeys. They give away money. They take care of their shit.
For my school supplies.
Yeah, like Big U and all of them. So when you say, are you talking about the ones that signed up? You're talking about it's both. The ones that signed up represent the hood. And the hood, those who are in the set, those who actually in the set, gangbangers. The set is the actual political party. But the people that feed the set, that's still a part of it, they're still a part of the set. And Trump represented his set, meaning he didn't give a damn what a Democrat wanted. And see, that's what people, he's a president for everybody. No, politics don't work that way.
No, he's not.
Politics works. So when you say Mitch is for himself, no, he's not for himself. He's for his set. Because one thing about Republicans, if you don't do what they say do, they will DP you. They will discipline you.
Yeah, deuces. Yeah,
Democrats don't discipline you.
Yeah.
So let's go
they
further.
Don't. They don't.
They don't check. Discipline you. Yeah. They let you do whatever the fuck you want to do, and that's why I say he's not a gangster. By no stretch of imagination, I understand what you were saying in that analogy.
Yeah.
I'm just here to clear up.
In the sense that, like, no, I like that because I'm thinking in the sense of like this nigga was like, listen, I need some judges. I don't care who the fuck y'all put in charge. I need these judges, and then walked away and was like, well, it's cool. I got my judges. Nigga, the president gonna come and go.
Who you talking about? Biden or Trump?
I'm talking about Mitch. Mitch was like, nigga, I need judges. You know what I'm saying? And got him. And so to me, it was like, that's, I guess in the lens that I'm talking about, that's what I was thinking about. Anyway,
but see, let's unpack that just quickly. It wasn't just I need judges. It was, I need conservative judges so I can lock this shit all the way up.
Lock this shit all the way up.
So again, that's why Mitch is a gangster. He didn't just say, I need judges and walk off on me. He said, I need conservative judges because they stay for a lifetime. Right. He went He went and set up shop in Oklahoma City. He left LA and said, I want y'all to pick. I need 50 Damus that's going to come up here and move this work in every hood.
Yes.
No, he didn't just pick it and walk away. So that's the reason why Mitch is a gangster. He's making sure.
Okay.
That's not about Mitch. That's about his set.
Yeah, that's legacy.
He's locking in the set.
That's legacy.
And that's why they win every single time. What Democrats did is, we're not going to worry about stacking the court. We're just going to let it all work out. Which is why they're not gangsters. I'm trying to get Democrats to be gangsters.
Dumb.
So I'm going to need you, homie, to make sure when you moving forward on that conversation, like explain both sides, because that's what I'm saying why it's so important. Because if we're giving that information, and I understand the theory of it all, but it's still, I won't say misleading, but it's not, it's so much more we can go in that so that gangsters that hear you truly understand, because I need them to understand.
Yeah.
And I know more homies that respect Trump for his gangster shit. That's how I got a lot of homies involved based on Trump. Don't no gangsters understand this soft shit Biden doing. Gangsters don't roll that way. Now, maybe niggas that you said, hey, maybe sympathizers did, maybe whoever. No, every frontliner don't play nice on this side and on that side. You see what I'm saying? No, what Biden doing, he ain't no gangster. Yeah. That ain't what gangsters do. He mafia. He a pimp. He got a cold ass pimp hand. He got a cold ass pimp hand. Pimps all around the world should be looking at him as that soft-spoken shit, that big-ass hope thing he did yesterday. Pimp hand, yes. Gangster, no. But I understand what you mean when you say cruel, when you say, you know, we'll still, don't get it twisted, they're still the same. America in itself, you know, is the most gangster country ever. I get that, the system of it all. But when we use analogies on how people are moving and G's are moving, it's real important that we be really clear about that, because if not, they don't see how they can get involved in the progress, in the process. And that's what I'm trying to get them to do. Understand that y'all can be precinct captains. You can get involved in politics. You can run your hood. Inglewood, no way. That new stadium in Inglewood, niggas from Inglewood should have a piece of that if they organize their neighborhood. If they organize their neighborhood, you should have apprenticeships. Mm-hmm. You should have jobs. Yeah. You should have whatever, because you got 500-600 votes sitting right there, but you never knew how to work. So that's why I try to get the homies understand the politics side of it, so they can see, like when you say, oh, you understand this because of the knowledge. I'm trying to get them not just to even understand it, to know how they can get involved and run some of these weak ass people out here. Politics can use a gangster too. So that's my lane.
I love it.
All right.
I've never had a chance to like bounce any of these ideas off of anybody else, because nobody speaks both these languages. Yeah. Like, this is dope.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate this.
I appreciate this too. Thank you so much. This was great. Very informative. I definitely encourage you all out there listening to please listen to Hood Politics right here on iHeartRadio. Certainly am glad to have an opportunity to sit down with you. Thank you for allowing you know, an open conversation, understanding where we're both coming from. Because one thing for sure that we know in the hood, the worst thing ever is a miscommunication. It's always about having to understand. A whole bunch of niggas got killed over a misunderstanding.
Niggas died over that shit.
Right. So being able to sit down like grown folks is the real gangster shit. So I appreciate you, Prop, for coming by. Y'all make sure you check him out again on Hood Politics and make sure you check in again next week. Like I always say, use it, lose it, can't make you choose it. Right here, Straight Shot No Chaser with Tesla Figaro. If you like what you heard on Straight Shot No Chaser, please subscribe and drop a 5-star review and tell a friend. Straight Shot No Chaser is a production of the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. I'm Tesla Figaro, and I'd like to thank our producer, editor, mixer, the one and only Marcy DePina, our mixmaster, Dwayne Crawford, and our executive producer, Charlamagne Tha God. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.